I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I'm Jason Chaffetz, and you're going to enjoy this one because we got a great conversation coming up with the chairman, the Senate chairman, nonetheless, pretty powerful position, the Senate chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations. Now, if you've been paying attention in the world, there's a lot going on in foreign relations. Donald Trump has his hands full. Think of all the things that are going on in the world. Iran, Russia, Ukraine, China, Venezuela, Cuba, I mean, talk about a full plate of things that are, Mexico, there are so many things that are going on in the world. You know, when we elect a president, I think one of the things that was given short shrift, particularly with the election between, the first election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump is, if you recall and you go back, they did one about domestic policy. It was a great debate. Donald Trump, I thought, dominated that. Then, if you recall, we had this like scandal, and there's COVID stuff, and then we had the C-SPAN person who was found out to be pretty suspect, and they canceled the foreign policy. They canceled it. Didn't even have a debate on foreign policy. And look at how much a president has to deal with on his plate in terms of foreign policy. That was so fundamentally wrong how that was done. Nevertheless, I think Donald Trump has shown that he's, closed or shut down something like, exhausted something like 8 wars. Unbelievable what he's been able to accomplish as the president of the United States and getting rid of these wars and bringing back captives, people who are being detained unlawfully around the world. We're going to talk to the senator about all of that that's going on, world affairs and how he does it. And you may not know a lot about him, but boy, he carries a very important gavel, works hand in glove with the president, and fascinated about all the things that are going on in the world and what needs to be done. Well, like I said, we'll learn a lot more about him and what he's doing and how he's doing it. So looking forward to that. All right, let's ring on the stupid because you know what? I can't stand anymore. There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere, and we like to ring it to you. First, we're going to the Washington Post. This is one of the most ridiculous articles. I couldn't imagine that they did this, okay? You probably saw this. Came out last week. And it is absurd. I had to do a double take. This is a column by Ashley Fetters Malloy. Okay? Ashley decided in her great wisdom to come up with a column, and here's the title. Erica Kirk is walking a fine line in a glittering pantsuit. Her recent outfits are making a statement. Take her seriously, but don't take her for a career woman. Are you kidding me? The crap women have to put up with in having their outfits assessed on how they're trying. Now, I've been in public eye for a long time. I was in Congress for 8+ years. I've been out on Fox News. I don't think anybody's ever assessed my attitude based on my outfit. That is absurd. To do that to a woman is just, especially Erica Kirk, really, of all the things going on with Erica Kirk in her life. In her last, 6-12 months, you kidding me? The Washington Post is going to take time to write about her glittering pantsuits? That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, and certainly far below anything other than some sensational journalism. It's just absolutely absurd, and it's embarrassing. I don't know how the Washington Post puts up with things like that. All right, next one, we're going to New York City. This comes to us from NBC New York, Channel 4. Ozempic, live lobsters. Here are the weirdest things left in Ubers last year. So the Uber evidently publishes an index of things, of the most unique things. So let's take a list down. This is, again, NBC News in New York. Unique items left in Ubers. Mannequin head with human hair. Viking drinking horn. Ghostbusters ghost trap. That seems very common to me. A chainsaw. Breast milk. Fine china. My turtle. A urinal. Guy brought a urinal. Forgot to take it out. I can't say the next one because it's just a little... We're trying to be family friendly. Aviation headset, Shrek ears, Bermuda shorts, a pink fan that has two hearts and the word bimbo on it, DNA testing kit, pickleball paddles. Yeah, I can see where that happens. A unicycle. Whoops. Bouquet of 100 roses. Ooh, that was painful to leave those in there. Probably needed those. Or maybe you got them and you just left them on purpose. Peacock feathers. Oh, yeah. Sewing machine. That's probably pretty expensive. Divorce papers. Ha ha. Whoops. Ozempic. It just keeps going. The most forgetful cities. Where do people leave things the most? What would you guess? Yep. New York, Miami, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, and San Francisco. They're all big cities. And the last one on the list, last three, of things that were left in cars, in Ubers. Chicken sculpture. Chicken sculpture. Love that. Hannah Montana merchandise. Yeah, that's probably worth you leaving. And, ouch, DJ mixing board. Whoops. Not too bizarre, but kind of funny. All right. In addition, I have brought up Bigfoot many times. Anything that says the word Bigfoot, Sasquatch gets my attention. So, Bigfoot hunters, this is according to the New York Post. Meet the Bigfoot hunters of the Hudson Valley who claim the beast is in our midst. And it's got this picture of this family, and it starts off like this. On a Sunday and brisk Sunday at Poets Walk Park in Hudson Valley, the scenic Hudson River adjacent trails are filled with outdoor enthusiasts, all eagerly taking in the fresh air. Just a few hundred yards away, gaggles of day trippers. It goes on and on about them taking on the Lululemon and getting out there to go try to find Bigfoot. I love it. Anything Bigfoot, I gotta love. It ends up on the stupid list, but you know what? I absolutely love it. All right, that's the stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Oh, hello, it's me, the calculator that lives inside of TaxSlayer. And let me tell you, I love numbers. 1040s, 1099s, W-2s, all of them. With TaxSlayer, anyone can file a federal return for just $22.99. You'll get 100% accuracy and your biggest possible refund guaranteed. Now those are great numbers. Need help along the way? We've got U.S.-based real human support. File by February 8th for just $22.99 and get the refund you deserve. TaxSlayer, file fearlessly.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 55 and with one of the big three carriers, like Verizon, you may notice they don't talk much about their 55-plus discounts. That's so customers like you keep paying their regular higher rates to boost their bottom line. You deserve better, better service, with 100% U.S.-based experts, better value, with plans starting at $20, and a company that's built for people 50-plus, like me. Not convinced? Give your current carrier a call. Ask about the 55-plus plan you've earned. See how long it takes to get a real person on the line, and if they try to talk you out of it. But But if you want something better, call Consumer Cellular. We've got the same great coverage, and our U.S.-based experts can get you switched in about 20 minutes. Switch now to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com for your second month free.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, addresses the Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt that, on March 26, 1979, led to a negotiated peace between the two nations, the first between Israel and any of its Arab neighbors.
The countrysides of both lands are free from the litter and the carnage of a wasteful war. Mothers in Egypt and Israel are not weeping today for their children fallen in senseless battle. The dedication and determination of these two world statesmen have borne fruit. Peace has come to Israel and to Egypt.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A rescue dog named Eeyore from Florida, who helped locate a missing grandma, makes today's Dean's List. A distraught man called the sheriff's office because his wife had not come home. She was out walking their grand dog that belonged to their son. Deputy Devin Mahler arrived on the scene to help with the search. She got a description of the woman and Eeyore and went out to look. All of a sudden, Eeyore showed up and walked toward Devin's patrol car. She asked the dog where her mama was, and Eeyore understood the question. He led her across the yard, past a house, and onto a golf course where the woman was lying on the ground having a medical emergency. Deputy Miller says Eeyore guided her there the whole way, and the elderly woman says the dog wouldn't leave her side and kept coming back, knowing he had to get help. Thankfully, Eeyore's grandma is on the mend, while Eeyore is now a celebrity in the community. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. Exercise could be as effective as medication at reducing symptoms of depression. That's according to the latest research by the Cochrane Collaboration, which finds exercise can improve neurotransmitter function, such as serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins, essentially mirroring some of the effects of antidepressants. The review included an evaluation of 73 randomized controlled trials, including nearly 5,000 people with depression, many of whom also tried antidepressant medications. The researchers concluding that exercise was as effective as pharmacological treatments or psychological therapies. The lead author of the review says the findings suggest exercise appears to be a safe option for helping with depression, but also notes this suggests exercise works well for some people, but not for everyone, and finds approaches that individuals are willing and able to maintain is important. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Now it's time to bring on our chairman, because he's the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. Pretty important committee. His name is Chairman Risch, and he is joining us, and he's the senator from the great state of Idaho. So let's bring him on. Well, Chairman Risch, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Do appreciate it.
Well, it's good to see you somewhere other than an airport, an airplane, or the halls, the marble halls of our Congress.
So, once upon a time, this is kind of funny to me because, yeah, I was in Congress, right? A congressman out of Utah, which meant the Salt Lake City International Airport.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yes, and we would see each other at the airport.
Yeah.
You were changing planes, going up to Boise. I was.
Yeah.
How many flights did we sit next to each other? There were a lot.
I have no idea, but I got 3 million miles, and you were in there somewhere. So.
Well, I got 4.5.
All I know is how aggravated I was when we were flying home on Thursday, and we got off the plane, and you said, "I'm going home and going to bed." And I said, "Yeah, and I got another leg of this ahead of me."
Well, you have done so much with your time in the Senate. It's really impressive. And to be the chairman of Foreign Relations, right?
Yep, I'm the third one in Idaho. The other two ran for president. I don't think I will. In fact, the last one we had didn't work out so good. That was Frank Church.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
He was the last Democrat elected to the U.S. Senate from Idaho because it didn't work so well. Since he gave away the Panama Canal, people weren't happy.
Yeah, that didn't go too well, did it?
Nope.
Tell me, thanks so much for doing this. I really do appreciate it. I happened to be in D.C. and saw you, and I thought, gosh, we got to have you on. I think people, I'm fascinated by, you know, ordinary people who do extraordinary things. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of growing up, who you are, how you got there, because we'll talk about foreign relations and all the things on President Trump's table and your table, but tell us a little bit more about how you got there, because I think a lot of people would love to do what you do, but, you know, you got to do other things in order to be properly prepared. But you were born in Idaho, right?
No. I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, grew up in the big city, went to high school there. I was born poor, grew up poor, not dirt poor. We always had a house over, roof over our head and food on the table, and Dad worked hard and always worked for the same company. But we, you know, beyond that, we really didn't have, that much anything. But I went to, Mom and Dad were both encouraging about, obviously getting an education. So when I, wanted to, think of what I wanted to do back then, they used to give you these very rudimentary tests, you know, to see what your interests are, et cetera. So I took one of those in my last year in high school, and they said you should be a forest ranger. Well, I grew up in the city, and we really didn't have access to get out much, and I didn't much during my lifetime, but I really loved it when I did. I said, hey, that sounds really good, and what are they doing? They said, oh, you know, they go out in the woods, and they take care of the trees and the bears and the deer, and I said, that sounds like fun. So anyway, I signed up for that and went to years to the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, and then Wisconsin didn't have a forestry school, so I had to go out of state for the last 2 years, and I chose Idaho, fortuitously, and then I went through forestry school, and then went on to law school, and met Vicki, and we got married, and I couldn't leave Idaho, leave Idaho.
she was from Idaho?
Yeah, she was. Mm-hmm.
And you were living in Boise then, or where were you at?
We met when we were both in college. I was in my last year of law school, and she's 4 years younger, so she was she was going to college, and we met, fell in love, got married, and that was 58 years ago this June 8th coming up.
That is awesome. 58 years. How many kids, grandkids you got at this point?
Got three boys, all married, three wonderful girls who all get along and fit well in the family, which, as you know, is really important.
They
got nine grandkids, and on holidays, that's our holidays, Christmas and that sort of thing, you know. So
you're in Wisconsin. I mean, look, Wisconsin's got a lot of great outdoor recreation, but what in the world is going on with that aptitude test that said, yeah, you should be in forestry? That's interesting. Hey.
Jason, this test was a long, long time ago, okay, and they were much more rudimentary than they are now, and I think they were just looking for things you'd like. I don't think it was much as aptitude as it was, what do you want to do, what would you like to do, you know, and I spent very, very, I loved getting out, but like I said, we lived in the city, and we didn't even have an automobile until I was a little bit older, so I really didn't get out that much, but every time I did, I loved it, you know, getting away from the city.
So you go to school, you get married, you find your love of your life, 58 years, that's impressive.
I have to stop it, just because if Vicki was sitting here, she'd say, actually, it's a lot longer than 58 years, because she and I have been through 36 elections together, and she says she counts election years in dog years. Actually a lot longer than 58 years.
50. that is a lot. Oh, my gosh. So you get done with law school, then you got to get a job, right? So
right.
Where'd you do?
Well, again, fortuitous. I became friends with one of the instructors, a really bright guy and a really pragmatic kind of guy and everything. And after back then, getting jobs in the legal field was a lot harder than it is today. They didn't have the, you know, everybody's got internships today. They just didn't have that. Well, fortuitously, the prosecuting attorney in Boise, in Ada County, was looking for a law clerk because he was undertaking a big case. And I happened to walk into this guy's office when he had been contacted by that prosecutor and said, hey, you know what? This would really be a good opportunity for you. So I went out and interviewed. The guy hired me and I went to work in the Ada County prosecutor's office in 1967 and I clerked there. Went back to law school for the last year, came back and went to work as a deputy prosecutor, worked there for a couple of years, and then my boss decided not to run. So in order to keep my job, I had to run. So I did, and that was 36 elections ago.
Wow. Wow. And you won. Did you have competition or?
I did. Yes, I did. I haven't been. Most of them are not walk-ons, as you know. You know, there's always right. somebody that yeah. wants a, yeah, always somebody that wants a piece of it. You know, so. But anyway, I did a couple terms as a prosecuting attorney. Went out into private practice, which is, and ran for the state senate. And my immediate predecessors, interestingly enough, from my district that I ran from in Boise, had been the Ada County prosecuting attorney and had been majority leader of the senate. So. Here I was. Wow. I was a prosecuting attorney, went there, spent 2 years there. Then I was elected majority leader, and then I spent the next 28 years there in one capacity or another, and actually led the Senate for over two decades. So that was
and
interesting.
You were lieutenant governor for a while?
I was lieutenant governor. Then
twice?
I was governor.
Yeah?
Yeah. Then I was governor, and now here I am.
Okay, so look, lots of people want to run. A lot of people want to be in office, but that's quite a streak you got going. What do you attribute that to? Because that's a rarity.
You know, I, first of all, I enjoy public service. I did most of my life was part time. Before I became governor, it was part time, always.
Right, right.
And so that gave me a chance to get out in the private sector, and I practiced law. I was quite successful at it. So, one thing led to another, and when opportunities came up, we took a look at them. For a lot of years, you know, I didn't go back to Congress until I had been doing this for a long time. Mike Crape was the one to talk me into it. He came to see me when it was there. My predecessor, there were rumors he wasn't going to run again. And so Mike Crapo, who's really, really a good friend, he came and talked to me and said, hey, you really need to do this. And I said, Mike, I do not want to live in D.C. And he said, well, things are different back there. He says, you don't have to live there. He says, everybody commutes. And we get off a week for President's Day, and we get off a week for get 2 weeks in April, and you get August. And I said, Mike, that's all well and good, but I really like holidays. And he said, listen, this is no problem. He says, we finish up by Thanksgiving, and then you can have Thanksgiving and the rest of the holidays at home. So one
How'd
year
that
later,
turn out?
now fast forward 1 year later. It's Christmas Eve. He and I are staying in the well of the Senate Garden. First time the Senate's been in session on Christmas Eve. First time they've been in since the Civil War, they hadn't been in session on Christmas Eve. And so this was when the Dems were shoving Obamacare down our throat, you know, because they were about to lose the majority that they had. And so I said, Mike, let's go over this again. So anyway, but believe it or not, I was home sitting at the table for Christmas Eve dinner that night. So
that was the hardest part for me. It's just being away from the family so much. And when you're chairman, you have a lot of international travel. You got to raise money for others. It's a lot of butts on airplanes. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Chairman Risch right after this.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Get ready. The Grange Co-op Bucket Sale is back. January 24th and 25th. Pick up a Grange Co-op bucket and enjoy 20% off anything you can fit inside. If it doesn't fit, you still get 10% off. Tools, pet supplies, garden gear, feed. If it fits, it saves. Buckets must be purchased, but the savings you can stack inside are all yours. So pack it, stack it, and save big at the Grange Co-op Bucket Sale. Happening this weekend at Grange Co-op, 55 Lake Boulevard in Redding. Don't miss out. Your bucket of savings is waiting.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, my name is Lori from Backrust. We've been working with the Rancheria since 2008. It's an honor to be partnering with Rancheria. They are one of our favorite groups to work with.
I'm Yasmin Pena with Shasta Heating and Air Conditioning. We've been working with the Redding Rancheria since 2022, and we are proud to be their go-to whenever they need work done.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
And rescue, Elliot got to be a firefighter for a day. He was able to meet all of the first responders, got a tour of the station, rode on the fire engine, and held a water hose, which was his favorite part. The joy on his face and the little happy dances he did throughout the day conveyed all of his enthusiasm. The Derbyshire Fire and Rescue Team say it was a privilege to make Elliot's wish come true, and seeing his strength, bravery, resilience firsthand was an inspiration to everyone. Janice Dean, Fox News.
is Jason in the house.
Let's talk a little bit about being so busy because, you know, Donald Trump, he doesn't sit still well either.
He does not.
That schedule of his is, I mean, it's legendary, but it is for a reason. That's not like some made-up thing. I mean,
no,
people
it's,
interact
it's,
with them have stories of, you know, he calls it midnight, he calls it 5 a.m. He just, I mean, he's...
I can attest to that. As you probably know, I'm good friends with the president, and I wish everybody had the opportunity to know him like I do, you know, where you one-on-one,
yeah.
And you...
Yeah.
I've known every president since Ronald Reagan to a greater or lesser degree, mostly lesser. Although I knew H.W. pretty well. I traveled with him. I was the state chairman. But I've gotten to know this guy really, really well. I started out, I was a Rubio guy in 2016, which he reminds, whenever we're having a robust discussion, I always know when I've got the leg up. When he's not, you're just a Rubio guy. But he's, you know, he's a guy you can talk to, you can interact with, if you disagree with him, he doesn't mind that at all. He loves to argue with you. Just, you can't ever take it public. If you take it public, and he, as you know, he doesn't take to that very well. So, but but he does call night. I mean, I handled his appointments, of course, since I'm chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. I got all the ambassadors and all the people at the State Department, and that's in the hundreds. And so he has strong feelings about the people he appoints, and he's not. Not as tolerant, probably, as people who would have come through the process through the Senate and know how complicated and convoluted it is and how tough it is to round up the votes, particularly for someone that isn't exactly perfect for the job. And so he felt free to and still feels free to call on a regular basis. And you never know where it's going to go. You know, either when you're in the Oval Office just hanging out or on the phone, you know, you just never know where it's going to go. This March, I was talking to him on the phone on something. I can't even remember what the issue was. And then he just casually said, hey, are you going to run again? And I said, yeah, I'm going to run again. And he said, oh, that's great, man. I would love you, you know, want to have you back here, et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't think too much about it. A couple hours later, I'm sitting with staff at a meeting, and all of our phones blew up. And they said, hey, Trump just endorsed you on Truth Social. Now, I have not announced at that point yet. Okay? So he announced my candidacy for me and then felt free to tell people how well it would go if they elected me. So yeah, like I say, you never know where it's going to go. So then I went home, and Vicki and I turned on a program on TV, so I turned my phone off, so I turned the phone back on, and DJT came up. By the way, when you talk to him, either when you call him or he calls you, you don't go through a secretary or anything else.
Oh, I know.
I mean, he's got a cell phone, and he just so anyway, it comes up, DJT, well, my phone was off, so I didn't see it. Went to bed, turned my phone off again, got up in the morning, there was a DJT call again, and so this time he leaves me a voicemail. He says, wasn't that a great endorsement I gave you? I did that myself. That wasn't staff. You're going to be great. So I thought, well, I should call him back. And I got busy. Later in the day, I called him back. I hit DJT on the speed dial, and it rings once. No, hello, Jim. No, hey, how are things? It's, wasn't that a great endorsement I gave you? That was the best endorsement. So, I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is. And people would roll their eyes at this, but he is a regular human being when it comes to interaction with other people. Now, you know, he's got his idiosyncrasies like we all do, but you can sit and talk and argue with him and cut him off in mid-sentence, because he'll do that to you, by the way, when you're arguing with him. And it doesn't bother him. He's he likes that. And, you know, I've been in... And people say he shoots from the hip and all this sort of thing, and you know, nothing could be further from the truth. This guy has a unique ability to listen to things and then make a decision and come out on the. I always tell him, I said, you're either the luckiest guy in the world or the smartest guy in the world. I'll let you decide which one he picks, you know. But if you give him that choice, but look, I've been in the room with him when we've had to make decisions on kinetic action, and he hates that. he just hates putting the kids in harm's way. But he gets much different than other presidents. He has a much wider circle that he draws from for advice and information. And as you know, you've been around presidents enough to know that the staff does everything they can to keep that circle as tight and small around them as they can, and have as much influence as they can. Which just sure. That's just the way it is. He doesn't cotton to that. He first of all, he refuses to be scripted. And he, like I said, he'll pick up the phone and call somebody, or he'll take the call from somebody. He'll be sitting there and his phone goes off and he'll take the call. And but he when he has that kind of an important decision to make, you know, he calls people in whose judgment he trusts, and he'll go around the room and he'll say, okay, here's what's happened, here's what we're thinking, you know, what these are the options we're talking about. What do you think? You know, and then you give him your 2 cents worth, and he'll play the devil's advocate. Yeah, well, if we do that, what happens if they do this, and back and forth. But he's and then at the end of the day, he makes a decision. He doesn't sit, well, we're going to mull this over, what have you. He's gotten all the input he needs, and he makes a decision. So
more Jason in the House next.
Listen carefully. This isn't noise. It's not hype. Silver is moving. And when silver moves, it moves quickly and without warning. Smart investors already know this. Most people don't until it's too late. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 to get your free gold and silver rollover kit of $49 value just for calling. History is clear. When the gold to silver ratio tightens, silver doesn't creep higher. It explodes, often outperforming gold by multiples. Right now, most Americans remain dramatically underallocated to precious metals, even as central banks around the world are aggressively increasing their gold reserves. History shows precious metals have performed best when interest rates move lower while inflation stays above target. You don't need perfect timing. You need to be in position before the move finishes. Call 800-900-8000 now. Find out about a tax and penalty-free rollover in 2026. Results may vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Superstar Taylor Swift makes the Dean's List for helping a young girl in Florida battling brain cancer. Two-year-old Lila has been fighting stage 4 cancer. Her mom, Caitlin, posted a video of her daughter in the hospital watching a video of Taylor Swift, and you can hear Lila say, "My friend." Miss Swift somehow saw the sweet clip and responded by donating $100,000 to a GoFundMe for Lila and left the comment, "Sending the biggest hug to my friend Lila. Love, Taylor." Caitlin was overwhelmed with gratitude and was in shock after she read the message and saw the donation. She wrote, quote, "I cannot thank you enough. I'm truly in shock. This means we don't have to worry about anything other than Lila. Truly such a blessing. Thank you, Taylor Swift." Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Fox on Justice. The footprint was small, but the fraud was enormous. According to the U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, Leah Foley, two Boston bodega owners turned a program designed to feed families into a multi-million dollar criminal enterprise.
The only thing convenient about these stores was how easy it was to commit SNAP benefit fraud.
Prosecutors say the men trafficked nearly $7 million in food stamp benefits. 74-year-old Antonio Bonaire, a naturalized U.S. citizen originally from Haiti, redeemed $6.8 million in benefits starting in 2022. 21-year-old Saul Alisme, a legal permanent resident, also from Haiti, redeemed more than $120,000 starting in May of this year. Both men are charged with a single count of food stamp fraud, arrested last month. The Trump administration is vowing a nationwide crackdown on fraud. Molly Line, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
During the election, there was no debate about foreign policy with President Trump, with Trump and Biden. It was a crying shame because he has such a different philosophy. But the success of the president and you, quite frankly, in what's going on around the world. Now, it's a volatile time. There's still a lot of moving parts. But, you know, what is it? Eight wars that have been settled down and calmed down.
Yeah. He doesn't get the credit he deserves for that very matter you just mentioned. Most people aren't aware of all the wars that are going on. I mean, in Africa, I can't tell you how many are going on, you know, at any one time. But the biggest one I think that those guys did was when India and Pakistan got in it. And you say, well, you know, who cares? Both of those countries are nuclear armed countries. Yeah. And, you something like that gets out of hand, it would be ugly. Well, those guys, he and Marco both got on the phone with those people, and they had that thing settled down within days. And it really needed to be, because that was headed in a very, very bad direction. Most people were totally unaware that happened. He doesn't get the credit for that. And there's a number of others that have gone on. But look, we're in a... we hit a low in America when we left Afghanistan with our tail between our legs during the Biden administration. Everybody in America wanted to get out of Afghanistan. Nobody wanted to go out the way we went out, losing those 13 people as we did right there down at the end, and leaving behind the stuff we left behind. Not the least was the air base that we just abandoned there. That was a horribly, and the world watched that. And there is no doubt that was at least a precipitating factor for Putin to take the action that he did in Ukraine. That would have never happened if Donald Trump was president. He would have never invaded Ukraine. We're back. I mean, the singular strikes that he's taken that have been so effective have really gotten the attention of the world. This guy is... People talk, oh, he's going to get us in World War III, and oh, we're going to get in one of these forever wars. This guy will not get us in a forever war. I absolutely guarantee you that. He's had to go out the door. When I was governor, I had to do this too and go to the funerals for these service men and women who gave it all. And when you talk to him about that and you have a conversation about that, you can just read in the way he expresses it and the body language and everything else. It hurts him. It really does. And he's had to go out to Dover like all the presidents have when the troops came home deceased. And it's he's the last guy in the world going to get us into one of those. But one of the ones that really pointed is that strike that he took on Iran, single strike that he took on Iran. That was genius. The way it was done, the timing of it, the quality of it. I mean, we went in there and ended their nuclear program. And, you know, the media was saying, oh, it's not hurt that bad. I'm the senior Republican on the Intelligence Committee, I can't tell you how I know this, but I can tell you this. They're out of business on the nuclear front, okay, for a long, long time. They want to try to put it back together. Of course, they can. But our troops did a magnificent job of taking that out. And I'll tell you, that made people sit up and take notice. And that's the kind of thing that he does in a single strike like that. So we're back. America's back. We are the front runners again on the planet when it comes to defense.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to be the world's policeman, but at the same time, when you're the sole superpower, you have some roles and responsibilities to keep peace on Earth, and that's ultimately what he is a peace president.
Yeah, you know, Jason, that's a really good comment you just made, and probably an appropriate discussion for one entire program. But, you know, what is our responsibility? You're putting, in general terms, you hit the nail on the head. We cannot be the policemen of the world. Having said that, there are things that we need to do that are in our national interests, particularly when it comes to allies, particularly when it comes to helping allies, and that sort of thing. But I sit in my office, and these people come from every country in the world, and every one of them that's got a problem, they all have one ask: America, come in and do something about this. And I tell them, I say, look, I can give you some specific examples, but the general, what I'll tell them is, look, you got a serious problem. You're a friend. We want to see you do well. We want to help you, but America is not going to solve this problem. You people are going to have to solve it yourself, and you can. We take care of ours. You're going to have to take care of yours, and that's how that's when it comes to quote police action end quote. That's what they've got to come to the realization of. So I don't want to speak for Trump, but I've dealt with him enough on these issues that I think he's in the exact same place, and that is we have some responsibilities. But our response, look, there's 200 countries on the planet. Every single one of them has problems. And we're joined in NATO with our NATO allies, 31 other countries, and those we have a strong responsibility to them as they do to us. And then we've got other ones that are single country defense agreements, whether it's Australia or Japan or South Korea, but we have to deal with those people in a way to where we help each other. You get other countries that come in that are particularly developing countries or third world countries, they got civil wars going on or what have you. We may see what's going on. We may even have an opinion as to how this thing should come out, but you just can't wade into those things, or you'll be up to your neck in the quicksand very quickly.
Oh, well said, well said. Chairman, you are so generous with your time. I got to ask you just a couple quick questions, and then we'll wrap it up. And again, thank you for all your time today. But because you're doing an amazing job, and America's better and safer on the world stage than it has in a long time, and you're part of that team and that role. And I just can't say enough good about what you're doing and how you're doing it. There's a reason why the people of Idaho have been supporting and voting for you for so long. But I got to ask you a few questions. So, if you're right with this, you ready?
I'm ready.
What was the first concert you ever went to?
You know, I think, looking back, was this tells my age. I shouldn't do this. When I was at the University of Idaho, there was a Johnny Mathis. Do you remember him?
Oh,
it was a wonderful date night, and everybody on campus went, so I went to that. But my favorite, I don't do concerts, okay? The number I've been to, you could count very quickly. Love the Beach Boys. And so when they came to Boise, I took my kids, who by then were in high school and college, and I said, this is music. Let me take you out to hear some music.
Best advice you ever got?
You know, that's really, really hard question to answer because number one, I've never thought about it. Well, I guess people have asked me the question before, so I have thought about it. But I really have had a lot of advice in my life. Some of it good, some of it not so good. And some things stick out as being kind of catchy, but you know, common sense. Once when I was quite a bit younger and still deciding what I was going to do, somebody told me, well, you know, find something you like to do, get good at it, and stay with it. You know, pretty good piece of advice. And, but you know, as far as something where the sky opened up and the sun shined down and that changed my life, I can't say that. But you know, I listen, particularly people whose judgment I respect. I listen to what they have to say, and everybody's got some piece of advice that that can help you think about things a little differently. So we just went through this, believe it or not, in the Senate yesterday. We had lunch together, as we always, the Republicans always do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We went around the room and they asked, what was the best, you know, what was the best advice you ever got or you ever gave? And it was kind of fun to have guys go around and do that.
Well, Senator, we're glad you're there, because we just need good, honest, decent people who can, you know, that's what America's all about. It's exactly what the founders envisioned, that people would come from all over the country and give their perspective and engage in true public service, which I think is the lesson of what you've been able to bring. And you're just always a happy warrior. Every time I've talked to you, you got a smile on your face and skip in your step, and that's what's contagious.
So, well, you know, that's, you know, how I view this, the point you just made is really important. You know, how I've had a lot of public service jobs, and how I view this is, you know, this is one of the very few places on the planet, and we are so fortunate to be part of it, where the government is us. We are the government. And when I talk to the kids in high school, I try to make that point, and I say, look, because they don't really have an understanding of how different we are, that in countries like Iran or China or Russia, that there is the government, and it is very different right. than the right. people. But we are the government. And it's the same way with our free market capitalist system. We are the economy. You know, in other countries, the government is the economy. No, here in America, we are the economy. And when you think about that, I mean, it's a privilege that out of all the billions of people that have lived on this planet, it is only a small percentage of them that have the incredible freedoms and just as importantly, the incredible opportunities individually that each one of us have. And it's because of our freedom, and it's because of the rule of law country we are, and the American Constitution, that we have what we have, and we are who we are.
Yeah. No, it's well said. It's true. And people have to internalize that. And it's amazing to me. Like, the world is run by those who show up. and so if you want to be part of the government, just show up, start and vote, and engage, and be part of the process. That's what it's all about. So, Chairman, you've been so generous with your time. You really...
I enjoyed it, Jason. Always enjoy talking. So, good to see you. And we'll see you. I'm back in Idaho right now, but we'll after this week, I'm going to be all around the state in my offices. But then I'll be back in D.C., and I will see you there.
Very good. Chairman Rich of Idaho, thank you so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to the chairman for taking time out of his busy, busy day to do this. Really, truly do appreciate it. Appreciate it if you could rate the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. It shows up once a week on Monday mornings in your box. You can subscribe to it. Also want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Again, I'm Jason Chaffetz. Thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. And join us again next week. Take a look through the library. We've got hundreds now of great podcasts we've done. But thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you again next week. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A massive winter storm continues to hit large parts of the country at this hour. Snow, sleet, freezing rain. If you're not getting any, you are one of the fortunate few because it's affecting just about half of the lower 40 conditions. All that has happened. Thousands and thousands of complaints. The National Weather Service says the storm is expected to continue through the early hours of Monday morning, depending on exactly where you are. President Trump has approved emergency declarations for at least a dozen states. Critics say the policies of New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani are clearly anti-business.
Mamdani's agenda of raising taxes on high earners and corporations reportedly has many millionaires planning to leave the city, and it comes at a terrible time. The Unleash Prosperity newsletter says that last year the Big Apple had its sharpest decline in business growth since COVID in 2020. More than 8,400 businesses shut down the second quarter of 2025. Only 3,500 opened. The decline wiped out nearly all the city's startup gains since 2022.
Correspondent Ken Lorman, he says that Mamdani is offering to cut fines and fees for small business in half in hopes of preventing a expected recession. Many economists warn as he implements his anti-business agenda, more New Yorkers in every income bracket will leave the city, which has lost nearly 500,000 people since 2020 alone. The commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard warning that his forces are, quote, more ready than ever as U.S. warships bear down on the Middle East. Tensions between Iran and the U.S. remain high following a crackdown on protests there that began in December. Activists report over 40,000 Iranians have been arrested and many killed. President Trump has warned Iran against executing protesters and says he's moving the warships, quote, just in case. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Chuck McDowell here with Wesley Financial Group. My 78-year-old friend Linda called me yesterday. She bought a $40,000 timeshare in Nashville. She was told it was a great investment and that he would personally book all her vacations. All lies. She called our sales rep, Chris, the next morning at 4:57 a.m. to cancel, and she was told it was too late. You had your chance yesterday. Another lie. She has 10 days in Tennessee. I am in a war with the timeshare industry because people keep buying their lies and they don't want me to help you. If you need a timeshare, I'm sure one of the 3,500 people that call my office weekly would love to give you one of theirs. Or go online and pay a dollar for it. But stop paying $40,000 for lies. It's time to stop the insanity. Don't wait another day.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-364-7711. That's 800-364-7711. 800-364-7711.
Top U.S. envoys have met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. They urge him to advance the ceasefire in Gaza. The meeting included President Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff and Middle East advisor Jared Kushner. Details not yet disclosed. The U.S. wants the Trump-brokered ceasefire deal to progress, but Netanyahu faces pressure to wait for Hamas to return the remains of one final hostage. The reopening of the Rafah border crossing between Gaza and Egypt is a key signal of the second phase. TikTok has at last finalized the deal to keep the popular video-sharing platform operating in the U.S. after years of uncertainty. But questions remain about whether users' experience will change and whether the changes actually address security concerns around the app. American TikTok users can continue using the same app, according to a TikTok spokesman. But exactly what American users will see on their TikTok feed once the changeover happens remains unclear. News and analysis at townhall.com. The financial markets will be watching closely this week as the Federal Reserve's policymakers meet to decide what they will do or not do about interest rates.
The general consensus is that the Fed will leave well enough alone, leaving rates right where they are after cutting them at each of its last three meetings. Given that inflation and the job market are relatively stable, policymakers are not expected to adjust rates again this time. The annual rate of inflation held at 2.7% in November and December, while the unemployment rate edged lower in December after rising to a four-year high the month before. Rich Thomason, Washington.
Today is Sunday, January the 25th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including NFL Hall of Famer Carl Eller. He is 84 years old. Hockey Hall of Famer Chris Chelios is 64. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky is celebrating a birthday today. He's 48. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
President Trump marks 1 year since beginning his second term, having achieved much of his legislative agenda despite Democratic opposition. The president setting to put his agenda in the global spotlight as he heads to Davos, Switzerland, joining the largest ever U.S. delegation to the World Economic Forum. The trip coming as the administration faces renewed attention over Greenland.
You said you're confident something's going to get worked out in Greenland, but Greenlanders have made it clear they don't want to be part of the U.S.
Well, I haven't. When I speak to them, I'm sure they'll be thrilled.
How far are you willing to go to acquire Greenland?
You'll find out. President Trump joining the White House press briefing on Tuesday. Back at home, tensions between anti-ICE protesters and law enforcement continue to grow. In Minnesota, over the weekend in St. Paul, a group of demonstrators disrupted a church service to protest a pastor they say also serves as a local ICE official. The Justice Department opening a federal civil rights investigation into the incident, saying the disruption of a house of worship could violate federal law. Lots to discuss this week. Let's bring in our panel, host of the Big Ben Show, Ben Domenech, Democratic strategist, host of the Richard Fowler Show, Richard Fowler, and Fox News chief congressional correspondent Chad Pergram. Chad, Democrats and Republicans reacting to the push for Greenland as the president heads to Davos. He kind of defended his actions, saying it's a national security issue. When pressed, how far will you go to acquire Greenland? He said, you'll find out. How's that playing?
That reminded me a lot of the famous line by Pierre Trudeau, the former Canadian Prime Minister, the father of Justin Trudeau, when there was this insurrection in Ottawa in the Parliament buildings, and he rolled the tanks. And there was a reporter from the CBC who famously said, you know, how far are you willing to go? And he said, just watch me. And that kind of became the cause célèbre around and the legacy around Pierre Trudeau. That was a very similar comment. Now, you might have certain people in the Republican Party, and there's some here and there. We heard from Ted Cruz, the Republican senator from Texas, who was making the case for Greenland. Eric Schmidt, the Republican senator from Missouri as well, who even questioned to some degree Greenland's tie to Denmark, even dating back a couple of hundred years, who have been full-throated there. But you've had some other people speaking waking up. And notably, these are people who are retiring. You have Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, who said he thinks that the president is getting bad advice on Greenland. And you had Mitch McConnell, who did not mention the president by name in a pretty pointed speech last week. The former Senate Majority Leader said, I don't understand what this desire is, what we get out of this with Greenland. Now, people agree it is a security issue, but just the fact that you had all of these mostly Democratic lawmakers, Tom Tillis, though, was among the Republicans who went to Denmark to meet with Danish officials. They're trying to tamp this down, and every time they do, the president seems to fan the flames. And that's going to be a problem potentially for Republicans in the midterms if you have this conversation always being about foreign policy. We're going to go to Iran. We're doing Venezuela this week, Greenland next week. And Republicans are out trying to get some traction on a bill to deal with affordability. That is a challenge for the GOP. They would rather talk about kitchen table issues and not Greenland, something which they view, most of them, a little bit far afield.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a doubt, Ben, about the national security implications and possibilities with Greenland setting up the Golden Dome, the missile defense system up there has strategic value. But how it's happening is in question. And this could be Donald Trump, the president, in a negotiating style that, he stirs up all the pot and then gets all these guys to the table and they make a deal. Denmark's essentially saying you can do what you want.
You know, I think that there's so many things that seem to start with a Truth Social post and then get taken seriously only after the president doubles down on them. And I think in this case, he certainly has. And in doing so, he has really roiled a lot of the relations that we have with our European allies in a lot of ways that I think could bear some negative fruit if they continue in the direction that they are. But as you say, this is a negotiating posture, and I think that that's what we have to view this through. The security questions, as you say, are just not debatable at this point, you know, and you also, of course, have the enormous resources that are available within Greenland. But there were a lot of different ways, I think, that you could have come to some sort of solution prior to this, whether you entered into a new agreement on securities. I mean, the simple fact is that we have an agreement that basically dates back to 1951 that could use some updating when it comes to the security interests of the United States in that area. I think you could also see a situation where a joint sovereignty agreement through a condominium would be something that would be an option. But instead of that, I think that we've had a lot of bluster from Europe and that the president has responded in kind, as he is wont to do. Look, whether this is going to be something that ultimately disrupts Republican chances in the midterms by having too much of a focus on foreign policy is something that I think does matter. Capitol Hill Republicans at this point are actually feeling much better than they were even 6 months ago, both about the economy, about the direction things are headed, about the fact you're going to have these tax refunds flowing out in such a significant degree. They do not think that these midterms are a foregone conclusion, despite the historical record and despite the fact that there are so many retirements involved. But I do think that something that could become a significant factor here is that the president isn't on the ballot. And because of that, he's focused more on all of these dream big issues that he has for his second term, which, whether you agree with them or not, have his eye more and more focused on the international stage, perhaps, than at home. And the fact that he's willing to deploy his favorite tool, tariffs, against our against folks over in Europe in a way that, you know, again, has them going into Davos with their hair on fire is something that I think is par for the course when it comes to his relations with these allies around the world. And that's something that, you know, again, is risky when you want to be talking about the kitchen table issues that Chad made reference to.
Yeah, and the tariff issue could be decided one way or another by the U.S. Supreme Court. But
very interesting that we haven't gotten that yet, isn't
yeah,
it, Brett?
I agree. Richard, they started the news conference at the White House with reciting kind of the wish that the focus would be on ICE actions to take criminals off the streets. And then he went through this long stack of murderers and rapists and others just from Minnesota, holding up pictures, reading these specific convictions, and talking about the people taken off the streets. Is it possible that this issue is not being tracked accurately as far as what people care about across the country? If you look at the Wall Street Journal poll, for example, immigration, Republicans win over Democrats pretty significantly, at least in that one poll.
I think it's a very interesting issue because I think there's so many different ways to look at it. And here's why I say that. I think if the issue was just closing the border, I do think the president can say, yes. I think if the president was just running and saying, say, listen, we promised that we'd go after those in this country that have committed some of the most heinous crimes, he has a case to make on that. I think wherein lies the problem for the president is when the American people, no matter where they live in the country, see National Guards on streets, when they see innocent Americans being dragged out their house in boxer shorts and robes, when they see, you know, ICE agents at carpool lanes, or when there's, you know, alleged incidences of ICE agents dropping tear gas near schools, people start to be alarmed by that. And I think for any White House, whether it's a Democratic White House or a Republican White House, that type of imagery doesn't bode well when your party is up for a re-election, and it's going to be a very tight election to keep the majority in the House. And I would say, you know, I think the Democrats are very bullish on the Senate, but in the Senate as well. And I think when there are other competing issues like affordability, like what's happening in foreign policy, you're going to, if immigration is your number one issue, you can't have images like that out there playing on the nightly evening news across the country.
Chad, what do you think of that?
I think that's an issue. You know, you talk to some Republicans and they say, okay, they generally agree with the idea and the president's success on the border. When it gets into some of this video, though, and some of these tactics by ICE, that might be perceived as too aggressive. But, you know, that's maybe why the president was going through chapter and verse and talking about, you know, this rogues gallery of people who they picked up in Minnesota. You know, bringing it back to the idea that there are bad people out there, that ICE does have a responsibility. And I should note that the Homeland Security spending bill, which funds ICE, really didn't put any guardrails on DHS. There's a few things there, but it's not much. Some body cams, it's not very much. And Democrats talked repeatedly about the power of the purse, leverage, there's that word again we heard this fall, of using this inflection point moment to try to address a crisis and make good with their base. There is the potential that as we go into this next funding round in the next week or so here, they have to fund these sections of the federal government by the 30th of January, including DHS, that the Democratic liberal base might not see the leadership as fighting hard enough. And it's been very interesting, and I've reported on your show a couple of times and elsewhere over the past 2 weeks, that when we have confronted Chuck Schumer and confronted Hakeem Jeffries, they have been very elliptical in their answers here because they don't want to disturb this kind of semi-fragile truce on appropriations and stumble into yet another government shutdown. Now, does that set well with the base? We don't know. And then the other issue is how do people in the middle and certainly on the Republican side, who maybe the Democrats are trying to court this fall, does that resonate with them in any way? And maybe the case that the president is making, that we are making headway. This is part of dealing with the border, but do those images, violent images, you know, weigh out in the court of public opinion? That we just don't know yet.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
The most beautiful time of year is upon us, tax season, and Tax Slayer is here to help you file. We guarantee 100% accuracy and your maximum refund. Those are some good numbers, and you can trust me, because I'm a talking calculator. Did I mention Tax Slayer even has support from real U.S.-based humans? If you have any questions along the way, beat the rush and start for free today. Tax Slayer, file fearlessly.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 55 and with one of the big three carriers, like Verizon, you may notice they don't talk much about their 55-plus discounts. That's so customers like you keep paying their regular higher rates to boost their bottom line. You deserve better. Better service. With 100% U.S.-based experts. Better value. With plans starting at $20. And a company that's built for people 50-plus. Like me. Not convinced? Give your current carrier a call. Ask about the 55-plus plan you've earned. See how long it takes to get a real person on the line. And if they try to talk you out of it. But if you want something better, call Consumer Cellular. We've got the same great coverage. And our U.S.-based experts can get you switched in about 20 minutes. Switch now to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com for your second month free.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Military Matters.
The next time you see a drone light show illuminating the sky, it might be the same company filling a gap in the U.S. defense industry. Swarm Defense Technologies can deploy a literal swarm of drones, as the name describes, taking off in seconds to create beautiful images in the sky, but also to simulate war scenarios. While troops in Ukraine use Chinese companies for weapons, Swarm has to make sure each piece that goes into these drones, no matter how small, is NDAA compliant. A set of rules that protects our national defense. Beijing holds a dominant role in the industry, manufacturing a majority of the world's drones. The CEO of Swarm says their unique position as an existing drone operation will only help them bring the U.S. closer to China in this race. Some estimate the U.S. can produce about 100,000 drones a year, while China can produce somewhere around 1 million or more. With Military Matters, Kelly Saberi, Fox Business.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. One of New York City's most notorious serial killers has confessed to another murder. Police in New Jersey announcing Richard Cottingham, known as the Torso Killer, admitting to killing Alice Eberhardt in 1965. The 18-year-old nursing student was stabbed and bludgeoned to death at her family's home in Fairlawn, New Jersey. The case went cold for decades, but was reopened in 2021 and through countless interviews over several years, extracted a full confession from Cottingham, including details that were never publicly known. Cottingham, now 79 years old, killed women and girls in the New York City area and got the nickname of the Torso Killer because he was known for dismembering his victims. Cottingham has claimed responsibility for up to 100 homicides going back to the 60s, though authorities in New York and New Jersey have officially linked him to about a dozen. He's been convicted in 5 cases and has been in custody since 1980 and is serving 3 life sentences. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The gum-chewing, rope-twirler, Oklahoma social commentator Will Rogers was a friend of presidents, heads of state, and politicians. He was often quoted in the Congressional Record, as he was in this recording from 1925.
And I received a wire this week from a congressman friend of mine who wants a copy of my plan to read in the Congressional Record. And I feel pretty good about that. That's the highest praise that a humorist can have, is to get your stuff into Congressional Record. You see, ordinarily, you got to work your way up as a humorist and first get into Congress. And then you work on up into the Senate, and then if your stuff is funny enough, it goes into the Congressional Record. But for an outsider to get in there as a humorist without having served his apprenticeship in either the House or the Senate, well, I'm not bragging, but by golly, I feel pretty big about it.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Ben, I always caution people that we're still in January. We have a long, long way to go to November. And for all the people like James Carville and others who say this is going to be a blowout, Democrats are going to win everything, there's a lot of time. There's Q1, Q2.
Yeah, there is a lot of time. And I think that this is not, we've seen a sort of such a shift in the American political makeup in terms of the voting base that Republicans depend on and Democrats depend on. And it's a shift that I think we're still figuring out in terms of the way it's going to play out going forward. And keep in mind, this is the first, you know, election that we really have where, you know, the Trump presidency is locked in, but this is kind of about the future. What does that look like? And, you know, the other thing that I think we should keep in mind is that I'm not sure that the immigration issue and that the ICE issue plays exactly the way that national figures are necessarily assuming that it does. The very first act that Abigail Spanberger did when she took over the governorship here in Virginia was to reverse Glenn Youngkin's executive order requiring that state police work with ICE when it comes to arresting and deporting illegal immigrants with criminal records.
With criminal records. Plot. That's like the part of the deal.
Yeah, she got plaudits for that, obviously, from all the normal sources. So what happens when something inevitably happens with someone who is an illegal immigrant with a criminal record and that becomes a news story? This is not the kind of situation where those consequences don't matter. There is a reason that you see those poll numbers that you mentioned, Brett. And I just do not believe that that this is as much of a one-sided issue as the national media seems to continue to frame it. Now, that being said, I do think that Republicans need to focus on their priorities and not take their eye off the ball, and they shouldn't give in to some kind of idea that they can't be talking about the things that Americans are talking about and concerned about going forward. I think that's one of the reasons the president emphasized so much the movement on gas prices that we're seeing, that he is leaning as much as he possibly can into silver linings in the economy that he wants Republicans to be talking more about, as opposed to getting caught up in normal Washington mishigas. And that's going to be critical, I think, if they're going to buck historical trends.
Yeah. Richard, you know, what happens if, and I've heard this a couple of times from the president saying he doesn't want to go after the hardworking farm workers who are just doing their job. And in an interview with the New York Times, he said, well, if Democrats come up with something good, I could consider something. What happens if, in the State of the Union address, the president says anybody who's been here since before 2020 and has been a part of the community or paying taxes, we're going to get you a pathway to citizenship, and we're going to do the Dreamers because I closed the border? What happens if he does that? Does it change the whole dynamic for Democrats?
I think he has a problem. He has a problem with Josh Hawley in the United States Senate, but I'm a guessing man. But I do think that he will have support from Democrats to do that, because in a way, what the president has done by closing the border is he's fundamentally taken a large chunk of the immigration issue off the table for Democrats.
Yeah.
Democrats can just focus on ICE enforcement, and talk about that and not talk about the border, which they don't want to talk about anyway. And I think coupled to that, I think where I think time works against this president in this moment is we're now living in an era where we're seeing higher than normal healthcare premiums. And I think it's a story that we're not covering as well as we should. But those 15,000 nurses that are striking in New York City for higher wages, as we see Medicaid cuts that will likely start to sort of bear fruit this time next year, that's going to be the same in a lot of other hospitals across the country, and a lot of red states as well. And so I think the Republicans are going to have to figure out how they want to talk about health care. I think health care will be a bigger issue in this midterm election than the immigration issue will, as more and more folks will be dealing with their new health care bills and the closure of hospitals across the country.
Yeah. Chad, the purpose of me asking that question is that there are a number of long ball moves that could come that change the dynamic immensely.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's where, you know, I always talk about events. It's not me talking about this. This was Harold Macmillan, who's the British Prime Minister. You've heard me use this quote before. Events are the most important factor in politics. We don't know what's going to happen in Iran. We don't know, you know, what the response to the markets might fully be on the tariff question. We don't know what might happen in Venezuela. We don't know the Greenland issue. If the president is that determined on this, and maybe the Europeans push back. There are so many different factors. between now and the midterms. You don't know if Republicans in Congress can pass another mega bill. They're talking about something to deal with, quote, affordability. They don't have great numbers right now in the House of Representatives, certainly, to move something. They would probably have to use the special budget process, reconciliation, to go around a filibuster in the Senate. You know, they've done that a couple of times already this Congress, and that is an absolute slog in the Senate. It's one thing maybe to get it done before the end of the Congress. It's another thing to get it done before the midterms, maybe get it done in August or something, and especially because they're talking about health care, which is the radioactive issue on Capitol Hill that everybody always talks about and they can never solve. Do they get any bang for their buck even doing that? You know, Republicans have said that it's been a little bit hard to market the big, beautiful bill. And, you know, some people have said maybe they should just focus on marketing that and not putting their nose to the grindstone. And don't forget, about 5 weeks before the midterms, what do they have to do again? Fund the government. To heck with this funding deadline here at the end of the month. You know, we could be in another crisis there, depending on which way is the political winds blow.
Always fun, guys. Thank you very much.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headlines Rewind.
1991.
The liberation of Kuwait has begun. In conjunction with the forces of our coalition partners, the United States has moved under the code name Operation Desert Storm.
Kuwait is liberated. Iraq's army is defeated. Our military objectives are met.
I don't know too much about him, but I knew that people were complaining about his apartment smelling. You know, everybody smelled a funny odor, but nobody knew what it was.
This is high-tech lynching. I cannot shake off these accusations because they play to the worst stereotypes we have about black men in this country.
Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhan.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Barack Obama ran an almost flawless campaign in 2008, concluding with his election as the 44th president and the first African-American to lead the United States. In early 2008, he spoke to supporters in Chicago.
The challenges we face will not be solved with one meeting in one night. It will not be resolved on even a super-duper Tuesday. Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. For more than 10 days, a manhunt for the person responsible for killing an Ohio dentist and his wife gripped the community, and now the woman's ex-husband has been arrested and charged with murder. Police say 39-year-old Monique Tepe and her husband, 37-year-old Spencer Tepe, were shot sometime between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. December 30th in the upstairs of their home in Columbus. Their two kids and Golden Doodle were unharmed. Michael David McKee, a 39-year-old doctor from Chicago, and Monique's ex-husband was arrested over the weekend. The two were married for about 2 years before divorcing in 2017. Almost a week after the Tepes were killed, police released surveillance video showing a person of interest walking down an alley near the couple's home. Columbus investigators say they tracked a vehicle that went to the couple's neighborhood and then Illinois and identified McKee as the owner of the car. Police have yet to identify a motive for the murders. The murders came a month for the Tepes' five-year anniversary. There's more on the story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
I have tremendous respect for both the people of Greenland and the people of Denmark. Tremendous respect. But every NATO ally has an obligation to be able to defend their own territory. And the fact is, no nation or group of nations is in any position to be able to secure Greenland other than the United States. We're a great power, much greater than people even understand. I think they found that out 2 weeks ago in Venezuela. We saw this in World War II when Denmark fell to Germany after just 6 hours of fighting and was totally unable to defend either itself or Greenland. So the United States was then compelled. We did it. We felt an obligation to do it, to send our own forces to hold the Greenland territory. And hold it we did.
Well, Greenland, a big topic in Davos. Joining us now from Davos, Switzerland, is NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. Mr. Secretary General, thanks. Welcome back to Special Report. You know, the President had his meeting.
Thank you for having me back on the show.
Sure. He had his meeting with you, the bilat meeting, and he came out of there and said, we have formed a framework of a deal with respect to Greenland and, in fact, the broader Arctic. What does that framework look like, sir?
Yes, but we basically discussed how can we implement the president's vision on protecting, yes, Greenland, but of course it is not only Greenland, it is the whole Arctic. And as you know, there are 8 countries in the Arctic, Russia, which obviously is not in NATO, and 7 other countries, including the United States and Canada, but also 5 countries in Europe who are in that Arctic region. How can we collectively make sure that we defend that Arctic region, therefore implementing his vision of that necessity? And he's totally right there, because we know that the region is opening up more and more, the sea lanes are opening up more and more for the Russians and the Chinese and other adversaries to be active there, which is potentially a threat.
You know, getting from point A to point B, though, seems like it may be a challenge. I did get a statement just before this interview from the Danish foreign minister. He said this, the day is ending on a better note than it began. We welcome that President Trump has ruled out taking Greenland by force and paused the trade war with Europe. Now let's sit down and find out how we can address the American security concerns in the Arctic while respecting the red lines of the Kingdom of Denmark. I think it's the red lines that are the issue there. Here are some other European leaders weighing in.
I think it's sad and totally absurd that we have an American president who's blackmailing the rest of us, trying to get a piece of land.
So many red lines are being crossed that you have the choice between your self-respect. Being a happy vassal is one thing, being a miserable slave is something else.
Well, it's some tough words there from Davos. How do you get to yes, Mr. Secretary?
I mean, what is at stake here, as I said, is basically two things we have to work on. One is to make sure that the Arctic is protected. This is our seven allies, including the United States, working on that, implementing that part of what the president has been pushing for. I would argue tonight with you on this program. He was the one who brought the whole of Europe and Canada up to this famous 5% at the NATO summit in The Hague, which is crucial for us to equalize our spending with the U.S., but also protect ourselves. And this is the framework which you see in his post we will work on.
So I hear you on that and expanding maybe U.S. military presence, but what I don't hear is Greenland still, is it still under the Kingdom of Denmark in this framework deal?
That issue did not come up anymore in my conversations tonight with the president. He's very much focused on what do we need to do to make sure that that huge Arctic region, where change is taking place at the moment, where the Chinese and Russians are more and more active, how we can protect that. That was really the focus of our discussions.
Right, and obviously there's the energy exploits that possibly come out of Greenland. There is the Golden Dome, as you're talking about, protecting against missiles in the hemisphere. But as you talk to Greenlanders, and we are on the ground there, they don't seem like they can be bought off. And there's only 57,000 residents. Secretary General, how does this get resolved?
Well, I think tonight was a good night, and we have a good agreement to really start working on these issues. And that means that we both agreed, when you look at NATO and what NATO collectively can do to make sure that the whole Arctic region is safe, including Greenland, to work on that part. There's a lot of work to be done to make sure that we do basically everything needed on land, sea and air to make sure that we protect that important part of the world and of NATO territory.
So I heard you say that you may not be the most popular because you are saying how important President Trump has been to NATO, getting NATO to move forward not only on defense spending but other issues.
Yes, as I said in the panel, Brett, last year, under his leadership, NATO collectively reached that famous 2%, which we agreed 10 years ago. I asked the room, I said, big countries like Spain and Italy and Belgium and Canada reaching that 2%, would it have ever happened if President Trump would not have been re-elected? No. And then in June in The Hague, we agreed on this 5% defense spending, including the 3.5% on core defense, equalizing with the U.S. Would that ever have happened if President Trump would not have been re-elected as President 47 of the United States? Absolutely not. And now this agreement on working collectively on this deal getting done on the Arctic region, I think we can really commend him for taking that leadership role. He is the leader of the free world. He is the leader of the most powerful nation on earth, the biggest ally in NATO. He is doing exactly what I hope he would do when he was re-elected, knowing him from his first term in office.
What do you say to the critics who look at what has happened in result of some of the things the president has said, and look at countries like Canada that the prime minister went to Beijing and is making deals with China, France that is welcoming Chinese investment inside Europe, the UK just signed off on a giant Chinese embassy in London. Do you think that there's a change in the way leaders are dealing with China in particular?
Well, of course, it's not up to me to comment on what individual allies are doing in terms of their relationship with China. I think collectively as NATO, we have a position. The position is that we should not be naive. I can tell you, Brett, these huge investments the Chinese are making in the military are not there to organize parades in Beijing, as the military in Russia are not there to organize parades in Moscow. They are there to be used. Russia is using them against the Ukrainians. And China...
we know their ambitions in the Pacific. And again, here it is the United States who is playing a huge role here to make sure that the Indo-Pacific stays safe. And as NATO and the Indo-Pacific, under President Trump's leadership, we work more and more together.
And finally, when you leave Davos, you feel optimistic about the situation with Greenland, that you have this framework, that you're going to a next step, even though the Kingdom of Denmark is pretty adamant that they're not relinquishing Greenland.
I think what we achieved in the talks I had with the president is that we agreed that he's right. And he's right that collectively we have to protect the Arctic region. But also, of course, the U.S. Continuing its conversations with Greenland and Denmark when it comes to how can we make sure that the Russians and China will not gain access to the economy or military sense of Greenland. I think that was a very good outcome. There's still a lot of work to be done. We'll do it step by step. But, of course, working fast, but also with thoughtful diplomacy, we will get this done.
NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, thanks for the time.
Thank you so much. See you soon. Bye-bye.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Trust and Will is not a law firm. It does not provide legal advice, and the online forms it provides are not a substitute for the advice or services of an attorney. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable. And I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/plan. That's trustandwill.com/plan to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/PLAN.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
I'm Emily Campagno, and I'm taking you inside the Idaho murders. In Moscow, Idaho, a small college town, one case so violent and heartbreaking shocked the nation. Four students were found brutally murdered in their off-campus home, prompting a cross-country search for the cold-blooded killer. The Fox True Crime Podcast presents Inside the Idaho Murders, the evidence, the manhunt, the killer, and the victims.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday is your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We're going to have total access to Greenland. We're going to have all military access that we want. We're going to be able to put what we need on Greenland because we want it.
Nobody else than Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark have the mandate to make deals or agreements about Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark.
No one should be surprised. President Trump is the deal maker in chief.
I think the damage has been done. I met with a lot of ambassadors last night and lots of leaders from Europe.
Well, it is a deal that is in its formation right now, and they're working out the details on this Greenland situation. The NATO Secretary General on this show kind of spelling out some of that. We're learning more. The Wall Street Journal writes it this way: alarm over Trump's Greenland threat gives way to uncertainty around the future deal. President Trump has stepped back from the brink on Greenland. The question now is what happens next. Trump called the framework really fantastic, but offered few details. The lack of clarity raises the prospect that the chaos of the past few days, which jarred markets and stress-tested transatlantic diplomacy, could return in the near future. The New York Post takes a different take. Dane Deal on the front page as they move forward. Let's start there with the panel. Let's bring in our panel, Fox News contributor Hugh Hewitt, Democratic strategist Adrian Elrod, and Tom Bevin, Real Clear Politics co-founder and president. Okay, Hugh, it seems like as we get more details of this, it includes some small pockets of Greenland to build a military base. And as you heard Lucas Tomlinson earlier in the show, the Golden Dome and the prospect of that is a big part of this effort.
I think it's been a breakthrough week, Brad, for getting the understanding of what Golden Dome is and why we need it. I am reminded, and I'm glad Lucas put it in the piece, not just the Gorby-Reagan summit in Reykjavik, where Gorby wanted to kill SDI, but 1983, when President Reagan did an Oval Office speech announcing the Strategic Defense Initiative. He was roundly mocked. There were lots of jokes about Star Wars. But he kept at it, and because he kept at it, Israel was able to turn back, with the help of the United States and allies, via Iron Dome and via interceptors that we had, a fusillade of ballistic missiles from Iran. That's what Golden Dome is about, and the breakthrough this week, the breakthrough Lucas, I think, underscored, is we absolutely have to have Greenland's participation in that, and I think Rutte told you, and he told the president, it's going to happen. That's good news for the world, especially for America.
For all of the oxygen that this story has stirred up, and obviously there's a lot of criticism, Adrian, about how the president talked about it at the beginning, the threat of possible military action that he took off the table once he got to Davos. It's possible that the whole thing works out much better than anybody thought.
I mean, sure, Brad, anything is possible, but the bottom line is he is certainly President Trump along the way, along this journey of trying to, perhaps get to the point where we're simply trying to have a stronger, the U.S. is trying to have a stronger military presence in Greenland. He's alienated our NATO allies. He's really frustrated, especially the leaders of Denmark and Norway and some of the other surrounding countries, because of his approach. I mean, it's not typical that the United States goes after a sovereign country and tries to take their land. So, look, again, Brett, at the end of the day, if we have a stronger military presence in Greenland, I certainly understand the geopolitical aspect of this and where this is geographically and why that's important. Great. But the approach and the tactics and the strategy that he's deployed has certainly caused a lot of strife for Americans.
Tom, you look at polls all the time. Do you think that this focus on international diplomacy, on international moves, has hurt the president at all domestically?
Well,
I mean, look, there was a New York Times Santa poll that came out. Trump's approval on the economy was net negative 18 points, and on cost of living, it was net negative 29 points. And I think, and I've said this before, Brett, I mean, just think about the last month. I mean, it's been all about Venezuela. It's been about Greenland. He's been at Davos. He's had meetings with Bibi Netanyahu and Zelensky. He's done one speech on the economy. That was in Detroit, and even that message got a little bit muddled by the tiff that he had with a guy there on the factory floor. So I do think that every minute he spends on – it's not to say these issues aren't important to America and our national security and all that. But as far as the domestic political concerns go, with a midterm election coming up and Republicans looking to try and convince Americans that the economy – Trump just complained about the fact that he had bad PR people the other day. He is the PR guy. He's always been the PR guy. He's got to sell this. In his first term, he had meetings with truckers and welders and labor unions and all of that. He hasn't done any of that thus far, and we'll see whether he kicks that into gear moving forward.
But that said, Hugh, I mean, you look at the numbers, the growth in the third quarter now at almost 4.5% projected for the fourth, that was the third quarter, fourth quarter up to 5.3 according to the Atlanta Fed, and they're looking at over 6% in Q1 for growth. Yeah. with inflation it's kind of staying where it is.
It's extraordinary. Vice President Vance gave a speech in Toledo before he went up to Minnesota, and he laid out these numbers. They are extraordinary numbers. The wages are catching up with Biden inflation and are going to pass Biden inflation this year. It's going to be a boom year, and I'm not worried about November until June. By June, the president's got to be focused like a laser. Right now, he's got to be focused on world security. His number one job is to protect the nation. He's doing that very well, and I think he's also bringing peace to the Middle East. Some voters will ignore that. A lot of voters won't.
Meantime, up on Capitol Hill, the former special counsel, Jack Smith, getting grilled by Republicans, one of them Representative Gill from Texas. Take a listen.
How many days after Kevin McCarthy was sworn in as speaker did you subpoena his records?
I don't recall, but those two things had nothing to do with
it. It was 16 days after becoming the highest-ranking Republican in the House of Representatives. You subpoenaed his toll records. Do you agree that that might reasonably be considered a violation of the speech or debate clause?
I do not, and I want to be clear that the toll
records... You were collecting months' worth of phone data on the Republican Speaker of the House, the leader of the opposition... Right after he got sworn in as Speaker, all around the time of a major vote, that sounds like a flagrant violation of the speech or debate clause to me, and I think most people agree with me. And Speaker McCarthy had no recourse, did he, because you issued a non-disclosure order ensuring that neither he nor any of the American people knew about these subpoenas. Is that right?
The toll record, the non-contact toll record subpoenas, we did secure non-disclosure orders for those subpoenas.
So a lot of focus, Adrian, on the efforts to get phone records of Republican lawmakers. They're talking about the speaker, but others, senators and congressmen. What did you make of this hearing?
Yeah, first of all, I think Jack did an incredible job. He was very forthcoming, very direct. And, Brett, he made it very clear that he would have taken the same type of procedures if he was investigating a Democratic president as he would President Trump as a Republican. I think it's important to note also when it comes to the records that you were just showing in that clip, no one was wiretapped. It was simply, who did President Trump call? What lawmakers did he call during this period? And that's what was collected. So it was not the actual content of the conversations. It was the actual collection of determining who was called. And that was part of a standard DOJ investigation.
There's a lot of takes on this, Tom. And Republicans think he has a long history of being biased in his investigations. Obviously, a different take than Adrian.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand the purpose of the, you know, was a single mind changed about anything that was said or done up on Capitol Hill? Republicans already had their view of Jack Smith and what he did. Democrats had their view, and they just spent a few hours, you know, yelling at each other. I'm not sure that this changed any minds out there whatsoever.
Hugh, final word.
I think Jack Smith effectively killed the appointment of special prosecutors. I think Eileen Cannon's decision that she ruled his appointment unconstitutional has been validated. He did not give answers. He gave evasions, and I believe that that will go down as one of the worst appearances before congressional history, the other that I can actually remember in real time.
Strong letter to follow. Okay, panel, thanks.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Rocky Patel Emerald. Coming in at number 6 on Cigar Aficionado's Top 25 with a 95 rating, this box-pressed cigar offers great combustibility, a smooth draw, and delicate flavors of ground coffee, hickory, leather, and spice. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.